Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. But for a radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all could be with us. Also, tuning in on the online side of our program through Blog Talk Radio, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. We're glad you all could be with us as well. I think as we're kind of going throughout this month, it's recognized for a lot of things, including Black History Month. We're looking at the ideals of who we are, what it's been like for us to be able to navigate the world that we're living in today. Our next guests have written a book that is so fascinating, not only because of the individuals it looks at, but also I think the commentary kind of tells us about where we're at when it comes to not only race, but also trying to make a difference. We're excited to welcome Sean Dove and Nick Childs to our program. They're the co-authors of a new book called I Too Am America on Loving and Leading Black Men and Boys. We'll talk to the two of them not only about the writing of the book, but also what's been like for them to share these stories and the conversations that have been taking place around them as well. Sean, Nick, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hey, hello. This is Sean. How are you? Thanks for having us.
Hey, glad to do it. Nick, I'm going to start with you. I mean, the conversations I can imagine. I mean, when I finished the book, I was really blown away. I went into it not really knowing what to expect, but it was so much more than I could have expected. What has it been like for you, Nick, to see the way that people are responding to these profiles, but also to the stories of the book?
Well, it's been wonderful to have people kind of see themselves, to see their own stories in there, to see the stories of young men that they know and love. The response from women has been overwhelming, you know, because they are extremely concerned and you know, love the young men in their lives and want to do whatever they can to help. And so I think that, I mean, that's one of the beauties of narratives. Narratives can change the way we have been conditioned to think about ourselves, to think about various populations, and no one has suffered from a destructive narrative kind of swirling around us more than Black men and boys. And so I have almost, throughout the last half of my adult life, have devoted myself writing books that I think are little by little chipping away at that narrative. And so this was a huge step toward doing that, working with Sean on this project.
Sean, let's bring you into this. I mean, what has it been like for you? I mean, it is a powerful book, not only these profiles of these young people, but also I think a snapshot of where we are even today. What has it been like for you, Sean, to see the response to it?
Wow. So number one, I think just before the response, Cyrus, the writing and producing and co-creating the book with my longtime friend, Nick Childs, was powerful. We have known each other for 35 years and have been with each other through life's ups and downs during that point. And just want to let him know that I love him. Right. And in saying that, the response has just been awesome, because not only with my story, but with the stories of Jamari in Detroit and Romero in Oakland and other folks that we focus on in the book, we talk about the paradox of promise and peril for Black men and boys. And while, yes, there are perilous conditions, but the response has been so much around the hope, the sense of love, healing, and well-being, the vulnerability. I have personally gotten so much feedback, people, men and women, thanking me for just sharing my vulnerable story. A book club has emerged around it, so it's catalyzing a necessary conversation, not an only conversation, Cyrus. This work has been long-standing, and Nick and I are just so grateful that we can add light, texture, acid-based stories of black men and boys. And I think I would say that we emphasize that, you know, black men and boys don't need saviors. We need believers. We need folks to believe in our humanity, to believe in our potential, and also to believe in our redemption when we inevitably stumble.
Right. Yeah, Sean, I want to stay with you for a second because as you were talking, I thought about, and I should mention, because I didn't say it in my introduction, you also are the founder of the Black Male Achievement. And one of the things you talk about in Chapter 2 of the book, you say this: as I travel the country in my role as a leader in the Black Male Achievement movement and get an opportunity to spend time with young men like Romero, I'm inspired by their perseverance and optimism, their hope. It is the same resiliency that has rumbled in the souls of black folks for generations, pushing us forward over a path that always has been perilous. So one of the things that really surprised me as I was reading this book, I'll ask you first, Sean, and then you, Nick, is the optimism. I mean, was that one of the things that keeps you motivated, knowing that people, even though you see these narratives that make it look like all is lost, that you're not necessarily seeing that in the lives of those that you were coming in contact with?
So, great question. And optimism is a choice, one that I choose. I was having a conversation last week with a group of brothers about the book, and one of them said that, you know, being hopeful in a moment like this for black men and boys is a revolutionary act, right? And so I see so much promise, and that's not to ignore the very real challenges, the very real systemic barriers that black men and boys and black people face in this nation. But there's a movement, and we write about Trayvon Shorter's in the book that leads BME community around asset-based languages. And how about we choose to start with black boys' aspirations, their hopes, their dreams. They want us to know that they're more than their trauma, right? That if we continually just focus on their trauma, not ignore it, but if we just keep focusing on it, that seems to magnify. So that's what we hope that we convey through the book.
Right. Right. Nick, I want to ask you, I mean, as you look at these profiles and even the commentary around it, I'm going to talk more about that as we go on here. I mean, the thing that does come through is, as in that passage that I just read with Sean about the thing about resiliency and hope, was that surprising for you or was that more inspiring for you to see that?
Well, as an African-American male who's been a teacher, who's been a mentor, a big brother, and a father, I feel like I've seen that my entire life. I've seen incredible talent, brilliant gifts that my brothers have had over the years. I think we all recognize it in our communities. I mean, we talk about this stuff all the time, how gifted, you know, perhaps some guy on the corner who might be have stumbled into some other type of activities that, you know, are not that productive, but we know how smart that dude is and how smart he was when he was in school, and yet something happens along the way. And so I think that I've always known that we have these gifts and that there are many, 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 many forces that we encounter throughout our lives that can often kind of push us in unfortunate directions, but those gifts are there. And so, in the day-to-day lives of black men and boys, we have no choice but to be hopeful. I mean, that is the challenge that I think every black person in America faces. We know that this place has been designed to do us in. That's been the case, and that's been played out over centuries, but we have no choice. I mean, we have a yearning desire to live and to find joy and to find love. I mean, that is the human condition. And so we have no choice but to keep pushing forward in a hopeful manner. I mean, every mother who gives birth to a little black boy, when she's looking into those beautiful eyes and holding that baby in her arms, she is looking at hope personified. She is not looking at deficits and danger and fear. I mean, the fear might be there somewhere in the back of their minds. I mean, that's probably the case for every mother who has ever existed, but she sees the future president. She sees a future CEO, future head coach. And I know that we in our communities have had this view of our boys for generations. And I think that our task has been to love them despite the stumbles, despite the obstacles, despite the bad decisions, that we have a duty as a community to envelop our boys, because they hear too much condemnation in their homes, outside of their homes. And we have to start reversing that and giving them words of affirmation, giving them words of love and adoration. So no, I was not surprised by the hopefulness that I saw, because I feel like I've been seeing that my whole life.
Got you. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, Nick. I know growing up here, I'm on the radio side here in Mississippi. I'm from Mississippi, glad to call it my home, even though I have lived other places. You know, I came back here to take care of my grandmother when she got sick. And it's one of those things, I grew up around that optimism. However, it's been interesting for me in the past, I would say 10 years, how much pessimism has really crept into the young people I've been coming in contact with. And in reading I, Too, Am America, one of the things that comes up is, one, representation. We're going to get into that briefly. But also, I think what you just said, Nick, and that is that reinforcement. So I want to talk about something that Sean said, Nick, and then I'm going to go back to Sean. One of the things Sean said that I thought was interesting was that black men don't need saviors. But the subtitle of the book is on loving and leading black men and boys, and you all do talk about leadership. What do you want all of us to know about the role that we have in making sure that young men, you know, young boys are seen, but also know that we are there for them?
Yeah, and – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
I think it was my turn, Sean.
Okay. So I meant to ask you, Nick, earlier, when the black mother sees her son as a head coach, I couldn't resist. I said, I know you're not talking about the NFL, but go ahead.
No, I was thinking NBA.
Okay. I wanted to clarify. That's another show, Cyrus. We'll come back for that conversation.
Okay, all right.
But no, I mean, I think that we all have to fight in our own minds, in our own hearts, against pessimism, because it's very easy to allow it to seep in. And I think our boys pick up on that very quickly. And they act it out. If those around me don't believe I'm not going to be anything, then they're right. So I really have no need to push myself to make the hard decisions, because I don't have a whole lot of love and support around me. So I think that one of our jobs as leaders, as parents, as friends, as mentors, is to allow, to give space for stumbles, for bad decisions. We're all human. That's going to happen. And, you know, there are many temptations that our boys face that are negative. But I think it's the love and the affirmation and the support that allows them to turn away from that stuff. I mean, I think that I saw that in raising my own son. And I think that is a duty that we have, is to show them a way to say no and a reason to say no.
Right. Sean, for you, I mean, it was you that made the comment that I knew I wanted to come back to about not needing saviors. I love the fact that you share that one story in the book, though, about the Dome Project. And I think, you know, you even talked about in that chapter about, you know, saving yourself, right? I mean, what do you hope we all realize about, maybe it's not so much about being saved, but at least knowing that we are seen and that we have that support system around us? How important is that for all of us to be able to do?
So that's vitally important, Cyrus. You know, the rallying cry for I, Too, Am America on loving and leading
black men and boys is that there's no cavalry coming to save the day in black communities across this nation. We are the iconic leaders that we've been waiting for, curators of the change we're seeking to see. And inherent in that declaration is that, guess what? We have what we need. One of the things that really blossoms through the book is just the power of relationships. Yes, my relationships at the Dome, not only with adults, but with my peers. And when we look at Jamari in Detroit and his relationship with Quan Nellum, who created something that tapped into Jamari's passion for poetry and passion for hip-hop. And the same thing in Oakland with Romero and Chris Chapman, who's the founder of Kingmakers of Oakland. So this whole notion of, like, relationships, right? And relationships don't cost us anything other than time, compassion, and empathy. So we all can do that as leaders in our community. And I think the other thing that's important just to lift up when you just talked about the last 10 years of seeing an increase in pessimism. And, you know, some of that is certainly valid, right? If I'm a young person, a young black boy looking around at the criminalization, demonization of black boys, police brutality, it's hard not to be a pessimistic. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we borrow the title of the book from Langston Hughes' iconic poem, I Too. And at the conclusion of that poem, you know, Langston had this prophetic, this poetic prophetic prophecy. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed, and the day being America and my people. And he wrote that in 1926. And, you know, the stark reality in 2022, Cyrus, is that we can't be waiting for that, right? Is America capable of feeling shame for its racism, its discrimination? And so we can't wait for that. We have to believe in the communities, and the families, and believe in the futures that we're creating, because this is America.
Yeah. And I think not only, you know, can we be able to look at this and come away with some hope, but also knowing we're not alone. How much was that a part of this for you, Nick? Because, you know, as you all talk about your own friendship, I think the idea of the bonds that are formed over the years between individuals because of shared experiences or just because of being able to see someone that looks like them. How important is that for you as for readers to take away from this?
Oh, my God. Sean and I, you know, as many men, many black men, many adults do over time, you know, your relationship ebbs and flows. We spent a lot more time together when I was up there in New York, New Jersey. I moved down here to Georgia 16 years ago, and so it became more difficult to keep in touch. We managed to do that on occasion, but this book was this amazing opportunity for us to kind of renew this friendship that has basically been with us throughout our adult lives. And, you know, we know each other so extremely well, and that allows us to share a vulnerability together with each other. And so, you know, there were many tears shed during our Zoom calls about our own lives, about people around us, loss that we've experienced over the years. And I don't have very many brothers that I can be that vulnerable with, maybe one or two others.
Yeah.
And I think that is incredibly crucial for us to have those kinds of relationships in our lives, especially as black men, where we're often raised to think that we're supposed to keep our emotions and everything so close to the vest because that's not what men do. We don't share our emotions. We don't cry, all of those silly things that we were taught. And so we grow up with all of these damaged ideas of manhood and masculinity in our heads, and we need a place to be able to unburden ourselves. And hopefully it's with someone who looks like us, who understands us. And so, you know, I think that our relationship was kind of this shadow, like, source of strength and love that is there and kind of right behind the surface, below the surface, throughout the book. And, you know, because a lot of what we were able to write, you know, what I was able to put on the page was Sean's vulnerability. But I knew him so well and I loved him so much that I'm able to take care with it in a way that I think many others wouldn't be. And so I think that relationship and that affirmation and kind of being able to see each other is incredibly crucial to all of us, and it was manifested in us doing this book together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sean, for people, when they finish reading the book, I think they'll look at the title, I know I did, I Too Am America, and see it both as a mantra for oneself, but also a declaration to others. Is that part of your hope, that people will not only be able to feel a part of America, but also be looked at as part of America?
Wholeheartedly, Cyrus. Ironically, the book dropped this year on the one-year anniversary, January 6th, of the insurrection and the attack on the nation's capital. And one of the things that we are, you know, lifting up is that no one has a better brand of patriotism in this country, right? This country was built on the blood and sweat of black people. And black men volunteer for armed services more than any other race in this nation, proportionately. And so, yes, it is a declaration that, yes, I too am America. I am valued, and see me, right? And one of the things about being seen for each other is, in you know, in Nick's story, and I just quickly have to bring this in, he talked about our love. We all want to be seen, but we also are watching and wary of what's being reflected back to us when we are being seen. And a quick story with our relationship, you know, we write about in the book my struggle with addiction, growing up as a teen and into my 20s, and me coming back to be the executive director of the Dome Project and resigning to finally surrender to this lifelong addiction, and being in a therapeutic community, the Christmas of 89, and I received a Christmas card from Nick with a black Santa Claus on it. And it arrived at a time where I was just gripped with despair. How did I wind up here, feeling low? I don't remember what Nick wrote in the card, but I will never forget how I felt. I felt loved by this brother. I felt seen by this brother. I felt believed in by Nick. And that simple, I won't call it wasn't a simple gesture, but that gesture was seismic for me in my life. And the book also talks about us giving permission as black men to do that for each other, right? To demonstrate how much we believe and love each other.
It's a powerful book, and I think so many layers, I think, that all of us can be able to find a piece of ourselves or at least something we can share with others. Again, everyone, Sean Dove and Nick Childs have been our guests. I Too Am America is a book on loving and leading black men and boys. You can get it through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore for sure. Sean, how can our audience stay connected with you?
So folks can reach me at my website, which is dovesoars.com.
They can reach me at Twitter, that same handle, dovesores.com, Instagram, Sean_dove.
All right. And Nick, what about you? How can an audience stay connected with you?
Nick_Childs is my Instagram address, and they can reach me through my website, nickchiles.com, as well.
All right. Well, Sean, Nick,
Cyrus,
congratulations. Yeah, sure.
If your listeners want an autograph copy of the book, they can order it at dovesores.com. Amazon won't give you an autograph copy, but dovesores.com will. Just saying.
Okay. All right. So make sure you guys, if you want an autograph copy, go to dovesores.com. Well, Sean, Nick, congratulations to you again. Really appreciate the time today.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having you both on the program again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cyrus. Thanks for having us.
Hey, glad to do it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live here in your community station in Mississippi, WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com and our affiliates. We appreciate you all as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.